Listen to this. Mm. Hello, would you like to take out a mortgage? You don't even need to pay for it at all because there's no down payment or there's no deposit that you need to put down. And that is one of the most common harassment calls Chinese people get. Well, maybe, Ryan, you haven't got one, but certainly, Liming and I, we were talking about this earlier.
You know what? I got one this morning.
Yes, I got one.
While I was reading this research paper.
Oh, well, talking about opportune timing. Mm-hmm. Well, are these phone calls that try to get your application for bank loans actually scam calls? Or what's the industry behind it? Today, let's do a little bit of investigative work and look at this business and industry behind these bank loan calls.
Yes, so we've all received such phone calls except for Ryan because maybe he doesn't understand what they're saying to him. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, I'm afraid. We've all known people's reactions and how they can sometimes differ. Like, you know, sometimes I know if I think I've been sitting next to Hyung when she gets one of these calls and she's just like, ugh, and hangs up, right? But maybe some people like to make fun of them. Some people say, please stop calling me. Because maybe in all of this, even that reaction I just told you from Hyung, she's displeased. I can tell. Anybody sitting next to her can see that this was not a phone call she wanted. And in which case, maybe people are receiving these phone calls up to 10 times, guys. I'm sure you've been a victim of this. So Ningbo News investigates. Ningbo News, I guess, looked into this and kind of tried to find out the deeper part of this iceberg. Because we see the problem, we see this little part of it, but how it works, how Hyung said, maybe it's a scam, maybe it's not. What is it exactly? So we have to go under the surface of this kind of water to see what's really happening, because we're just getting these calls. So a lot of people assume that maybe these loan agencies, let's say many of these times this year, people are calling you and saying, hey, you know, do you need a loan? Do you need a loan? Come on, maybe you need a loan. Anyways, we assume that, oh, how did this person get my number? So maybe one of the things is they think a financial agency related to maybe something that they've done recently kind of leaked it. Basically, it was leaked to the agency. But what I'll tell you is, it's actually not the case.
Ooh,
that's right. So many of these places have installed what is called cloud dialing systems. I guess these can be purchased easily for 200 to 300 yuan. And after you connect the computer to telephones via USB cables, I guess you can start the system and the system will control the telephones to make calls. You don't even need the exact number. Maybe I could put in something like a 138 star 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 1234 and basically the system will go through all the numerical orders and find the real local number and give that phone a call. And I guess the manager of an agency even installed computer programs which can connect 15 cell phones. So imagine it's not just one cell phone doing this connected to a computer. Mm-hmm. 15 doing all these programmings, finding real numbers, okay? And it just happened to be you. And then also, under the control of the program, it can even have the option of sending WeChat friend requests to strangers continuously. So let me give you the breakdown, all right? So for every telephone, they can get through, I guess, over 1,000 people effectively every day. That's a 7-hour day. So one telephone connected through this system is contacting 1,000 people every day. That's in 7 hours. Mm-hmm. So imagine, four telephones can even get through to more than 5,000 people a day. Considering those who refuse to pick up the call, the systems are actually making more than 10,000 calls a day. And if the manager uses the WeChat function to promote the business, every WeChat account can add 5,000 friends. So 15 cell phones with 15 WeChat accounts can have 75,000 friends requests going on. So the manager can basically just send one message to more than 70,000 people easily. So this is really pestering a lot of people. That's the breakdown of the numbers, how they're doing it. It's not necessarily even a leak. It's like, imagine, it's not a business of precision. It's like a shotgun. You shoot a shotgun, and really what a shotgun bullet is just a bunch of little pellets, little balls. So you don't have to be accurate. Most of the pellets or balls can miss, but maybe a couple will land on its target. And this is kind of a this cloud system is kind of like a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. More than 70,000 people daily. That's not bad for a hard day's work. And it's amazing to see that this high tech or advanced technology is being employed in this kind of business. We often hear people say that sometimes maybe pornography is the biggest drive for the development of internet information technology. Perhaps fraud is also, or maybe not simply fraud. Sometimes, yeah, that's the other thing we like to talk about. Sometimes people doing this kind of business, they're not necessarily going to scam you. Like the agent, the manager of the agent you just mentioned, he actually runs a proper business. He's also brokering for some banks who don't necessarily have the time to look for potential clients. And maybe this kind of business can help them locate the, well, ideal customers.
That's so interesting, because when we receive these calls, we almost automatically assume that these are scams. And sometimes it's a robocall that you immediately get, but you, after a little bit of an explanation, we realize that, oh, actually, it's only maybe the machine and technology that's making the calls and getting you into the bait. But once it's like detailed negotiation and getting more information, it's usually people who are sitting by the telephone that will take over. But now we're looking at specifically the bank loan calls.
Yeah.
As we know, there's a lot of other scam calls that exist out there. But how does this business work, if it can be called even a business? How does the bank get involved in all of this as well?
Well, first of all, I do want to conclude, too, that, you know, this cloud system is one way, but according to what Ningbo kind of did in their investigation, a manager surnamed Lee also makes many phone calls personally, guys, based off of, and I want to say this because it's important to maybe protect our listeners, that he dialed numbers that came from job hunting websites. So, guys, even Lee reminded his part-time operators he hired to protect their privacy in their resumes updated on job hunting websites, because he said he could spend 3,000 yuan to have a look at all these resumes every year. So this could be another way. He's not only making clients, but sometimes partners in his business to promote loans and get loans for or whatnot. But yes, let's understand the whole process, okay? So here's what's going to go on. I guess at first they're going to make sure you want a loan. And then I guess they'll say, you know, then you can go to the agency, and what they'll do is they'll check your credit score. Some agencies have authorization of banks to check the quality and credit record of clients. So these places actually, as you know, Liming had said, are working intricately with banks, so much so that they can check your credit score. You sign a contract with a client there at the business or where the agency is, then the employee or manager of the agency will take him to the bank to apply for a loan and charge a certain amount of a broker's fee for the application if it gets approved. So that's the process.
Mm-hmm. And the industry is quite organized for those proper agents. I mean, they have tiered employees, like amateur employees are paid like 100 yuan a day. Those are mostly female college undergraduates, and they get paid 100 yuan a day. And when they're, what they do is they screen whoever picks up the phone and determine whether they are eligible or they are susceptible to the the services next step. And once they identify potential customers, they push a button, and more senior or more skilled or better trained staff will come in whenever it's needed, and they will go on with the the skills they acquire from the training, especially how they should talk to people, how to find out more information about the people on the other side.
And here's the interesting thing. Why is it that the bank seems to be working to some extent pretty closely with these agencies that we can't even tell whether they're totally legit or not? And why is it in the bank's interest to get potential customers these loans?
Yeah, so according to the report that we've been talking about by Ningbo Evening News, it's an open secret for banks to cooperate with such agencies in the industry. An employee surnamed Chen, who is in charge of risk management at the Bank of China, said that there are many reasons for banks to cooperate with loan agencies, these middlemen, okay? I guess Many people have little understanding about bank loans, and they have no time to compare or shop for what different banks offer.
Mm-hmm.
So in many ways, these guys that are approaching you, they know how to shop for the best loan by asking you information about maybe your assets, what you're looking for, interest rate you need compared with maybe all the different factors to get you the best kind of loan. Because maybe the average person or client looking for a loan doesn't have time for that. They can save, yeah, basically, the next one here is a lot of time so that you don't have to do all the know-how and knowledge and find all this stuff about what loans and what better deals you can get. And for the banks, they need to have clients to apply for loans, but they do not have the personnel or channels to find potential clients. So basically, it's this kind of symbiotic relationship. One person's earning brokerage fees off helping the banks basically find, do all the work they don't want to have to pay for,
mm-hmm.
to find these people to take loans. And in doing so, you know, this helps the bank out, and maybe these third parties are making a little extra money in the way of brokerage fees.
Well, it'll be okay if they say the brokers are earning like 1%, 1.5% of the commission. But sometimes they also set up some traps for potential customers. Like some agencies would like to set all kinds of traps. For instance, they said anyone without a mortgage can get the loan with their help. That's potentially false information. Like, I mean, in order to get a loan from any banks, I think you first of all have to have a credible credit history, and then you have to put a deposit or a mortgage. I mean, that's the thing. So whoever that is saying to you that maybe you don't need a mortgage to get a loan, that's falsified information.
Yeah, that is certainly one fact or one tactic that is quite alarming, because that simply just sounds too good to be true. And when that happens, your alarm should be set off when it's often that something of predatory nature could be happening here. And when we look at how this process works, it's kind of troubling in a way that, after just listening to what Ryan had described earlier, it just sounded like maybe these people have your best interest at heart if this is working well. But that's not always the case.
No.
When you've got a middleman that's involved, that's making the calls and sort of sifting through all the candidates that could possibly go for the application of a loan, and the bank also sort of operating in a gray area involved in all of this. Well, let's talk about the traps, and let's talk about the art of persuasion that's been used in a negative way.
Quickly, I do want to talk about, to give people a better idea of how maybe this also comes down to a success rate.
Oh,
all
really?
Because right? That's important, right?
Yes, indeed.
It sounds like most people just hang up the call, hang up the phone like us, right? But okay, so we talked about these different ways, really taking advantage of technology and IT these days. Usually the agency could only find over 10 people with the intention of applying for a loan from like 5,000 successful calls. Okay, these are people that aren't hanging up. So 10 from 5,000 is their success rate just of people interested, okay? Then the salespeople of the company will contact these people, right? Because initially it's that maybe undergraduate college girl that said, oh, okay, you're interested. Mm-hmm. Now the sales guy contacts them. Of those 10, one or two of them finally apply for a loan. So you're like, how does these agencies make enough to stay in business? Well, Lai Ming really paints a great picture by saying maybe 1% is acceptable for what these agencies are doing, being that middleman. But many times, and this is why they plant this trap, Hyung, and why I'm painting this picture, is they ask for something like a 5% brokerage fee on like a million yuan loan. So 5% of a million yuan, that's 50,000 yuan that they're making from one to two of those calls.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all, really. And so considering how streamlined this process is of, bam, you know, the system finds the numbers, these undergraduate college girls for very cheap, I can have a bunch of them calling. They're saying, oh, hi, what can I do? Blah, you know, New Hong Lin's making this call super cute. Of course you're going to want to buy. And then when you do, here's where the trap happens. Through my ignorance, okay, ignorance is one of the top things here. They're going to ask me questions like, hey, man, okay, so, you know, you don't have a mortgage, Hyung? Well, I know you're interested in this loan. That's how we got in contact with each other. Thank you so much for calling me. But listen, I really want to help you out. But the thing is, you can't go through a bank now because if you don't have a mortgage, that's a requirement, you know, you need to have if you go through them. But hey, check it out. You know, I can help you out, all right? Mm-hmm. I really want to help you, but for me to do this, it's a lot more trouble for me. So, hey, come here. I'm going to give you 5% brokerage fee. I'll get you that $1 million loan. You're going to get your money, and you're going to be able to get that yacht that you always wanted, okay? Don't worry, Hyung. I got your back. Boom. You're thinking the interest rate I give you because you never really tried to apply for loans, all this knowledge. Basically, maybe I'm getting you the worst loan of all time. One that I can go to the bank and say, hey, I got this sucker. They want this super high interest rate. They don't even know what a good interest rate is. But listen, they don't have a mortgage, all this stuff. But listen, you're going to make a lot of money off them. What do you think? And maybe this kind of thing happens. But basically, through your lack of knowledge, this person can
take advantage of you.
Take advantage of you, you know, and also in some cases, falsify your information because maybe sometimes banks will say, hey, no way. You know, like, all right, maybe they don't have a mortgage. That's not necessarily a super big requirement, but you use that to tell them that they needed it so you could get a super high fee. But listen, they need a credit score, man. I can't approve this guy. Sorry. And so in which case, sometimes these guys falsify documents to the bank to get that loan for you. Yeah.
Because their income is linked to how many customers or how many deals they can do and how many successful deals they can do. So that's why they don't care about the health of the whole financial system. So they could come up with ways to falsify information that could fool the banks. Well, the banks will be giving out loans that could eventually turn into bad debts. And well, that if that amount of bad debt could accumulate to a certain level, that could be very unhealthy. For
the banks as
financial,
well.
For the financial system as a whole.
Yeah, certainly we do see that. But like all of this seems to be happening in a gray area.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at what the regulations say, that banks aren't even supposed to get in touch with or work with such agencies so closely. That is not allowed. But when you look at in practice, and people say that, well, most people don't want loans, so they treat these calls as harassment.
Yeah.
So should this even exist?
Well, according to China's law on public security administration, Article 42, a person who repeatedly dispatches pornographic, humiliating, intimidating, or other information to disturb the normal life of another person shall be detained for no more than 5 days or be fined no more than 500 yuan. This can also be, of course, intensified if the harassment is intensified. But here's some of the other things, I think. On top of harassment being kind of propagated in this industry, you getting all those phone calls, you know, the people that are maybe saying yes to these loans are people that shouldn't be maybe getting loans. Maybe they have a really bad credit score. Maybe,
but they're particularly vulnerable.
Well, maybe on some cases, these guys are just maybe, especially if it's like a falsified way, this guy says, hey, yeah, man, I want that loan. I need more money. This guy's always borrowing money but never paying it back. Suddenly, this guy gives him a way to get his fix. He says, hey, calm down, man. It's all right. I know you have a bad credit score. I'm going to falsify a couple things. And okay, but bam, we got you. Guess what? Your credit score's awesome. He's like, great, get me as much money as you can. And if this kind of system is happening through falsified documents, then in which case, banks are being tricked into making bad investments. The capital they're relying on through their numbers, it's going to be false capital. They're going to be expecting a return on this, and it doesn't happen because this person actually never met the requirements that are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really important to realize that this could also maybe hurt the economy.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think should be responsible for this? Should the financial watchdogs be watching over this? Honestly, it's their responsibility to keep the financial system healthy, but I don't think they have the know-how, technical know-how to police this. Well, I think, well, being a geek myself, I think that maybe the telecommunications authorities, they are responsible for this. I mean, for a cell phone number to be making 7,000 calls or 2,000 calls a day, that's got to be something wrong with it, right?
Yeah. Yes, and that's probably easier to detect. But also, you guys sort of mentioned earlier that, you know, identifying potential people that want to take out a loan, mm-hmm. that action itself seems to be legit, but it's actually later on as this pursuit has been carried out, there could be so a million things that could go wrong and has no regulation or oversight over. And that is the part that is really the crux of this issue and needs more watchful eyes to regulate, to make this a healthier situation for people.
And also you being educated if you ever consider taking out a loan. These things are important.
Yes, maybe not answer those calls.
Try to take homework.
Yes, do the homework.